Diaz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. A good Friday morning to one and all. Post July 4th, Friday morning. Mark Melusa, Zach Gelb with you. It is Taz and the Moose. Zach in for Taz here on this Friday morning as we take you for the next 3 hours, right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We got Mike and Brian across the way. John Fast with your updates as we take you for the next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Hit us up on Twitter, at Mark Melusis, at Zach Gelb, at Taz and the Moose. What's going on, Zach? How you doing, brother?
Doing great, Mark. What a 4th of July it was. I feel like a fat kid in a
pictures
candy
of, store. You're tweeting me pictures of your dinner spread.
Well, which, you inspired me.
Which was a lot of hot dogs, by the way, if you take a look at that picture.
Well, here's the thing. So I went to a buddy's house.
It wasn't evenly balanced.
I went to a buddy's house, and they just provided the food, and they said, oh, you used to work at Five Guys, you were a cook in high school, so make the food, go ahead.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So wait, you cooked the entire spread?
Oh, yeah. The hot dogs, the hamburgers.
I didn't realize you worked at Five Guys.
Yeah, I was a fry cook for about 5 months at Five Guys.
For 5 months, that's it?
Yeah, I spilled the grease bucket on the first day. It was not a good experience.
Well, that's not a good experience, no. I mean, that's like the fat trap, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. A lot of grease.
It's similar to my experience when I worked at McDonald's. But how did everything come out, all right?
It was good.
Yeah?
No one complained.
So what did you make, burgers and dogs?
Burgers and dogs. You had the tomato mozzarella to start. Had a little salsa and chips. But the problem was, afterwards, you know, since I'm staying with my sister and her husband this weekend, we're watching the house as the parents are in Alaska. She had a little get together as well, and she's a big cook, Erica. So I come home after already having a big fat meal,
right,
and there's homemade pasta with the homemade sauce and the sausage. So the Italian in me then said, you can't pass up a nice bowl of pasta.
Well, there you go. Well, that's so your sister made homemade pasta on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it was excellent.
More of like a winter meal, no?
Hey, I agree, but I don't care. It was delicious.
There you go. So you basically ate like a king.
I was
good
pink
for you. That's a good, nice 4th of July. And then did you stay up for the fireworks? Were you to bed by then?
I went to bed at about 10:30.
So
we had to medicate the dog. Because the dog doesn't enjoy the fireworks, and she's 15 now, the dog. So put a little medicine in the dog. Dog fell asleep in my bed. I fell asleep and woke up about 3 hours.
Well, that's a nice 4th of July right there, Zach. Well, that's why you're chipper as chipper could be here on this Friday morning. Well, that's a good day for you, though. That's a nice day.
Yeah, it was
good. You ate twice. You ate two great meals. And you celebrate our nation's Independence Day with plenty of food.
Did a little swimming as well. Nice little outdoor pool. I had a golf ball, too. My friend lives on a golf course. So I go, it's about 6 p.m., let's say. And I go, I gotta go play one of the holes.
Right.
So we ran out and we started playing. I think it was like the 8th hole, which is in his backyard.
That's nice.
Shanked a shot in the water.
That's a nice 4th of July.
Kids good? They enjoy it?
Everyone's good, yeah. We had a great time. Sparklers. In Connecticut, fireworks are legal, so lit off some in the backyard. Uncle Steve brought those by. Burgers, dogs, a little kielbasa, some flank steak. The John Fast marinade was just off the charts, ridiculously good.
You had a good time with the John Fast recipe with the steak.
Oh, no doubt.
I talked to John this morning. I go, how was your 4th of July? Don't want to put him on the spot and blast him and get him annoyed with his family. He goes, I think it's his brother-in-law messed up his steak.
Oh, really?
Cooked it well done.
All right, we'll get into that. So I look forward to that.
He's not happy.
No, I'm sure he's not. Well, John, I didn't realize John was as big of a foodie and as big of a cook and a little bit of a chef as he is until yesterday. So you learned something. But his recipe for the flank steak was absolutely fantastic.
Okay,
the marinade was great. So we'll get into that as well. Hopefully everyone out there enjoyed their 4th of July. You ate as much as Zach Gelb. Maybe you celebrate as well with some fireworks and your favorite libation or two. And we'll keep you entertained here for the next 3 hours. Steven Jackson will join us a little later on the program. He's with the Big Three. We'll talk about the Big Three, and certainly as that has gained a little bit more and more momentum, and talk about the association as well. And we all wait. We all sit here, and as we celebrate our Independence Day yesterday here in the United States, we all waited for the decision coming out of Toronto on what Kawhi Leonard is exactly going to do. And you know, every 4 or 5 hours there seems to be another report, you know, the latest, Chris Broussard, Fox Sports 1, where he comes out and says the, you know, Kawhi wants the Lakers, he's torn, the Raptors had a strong meeting, Drake's heavily involved in the meeting as well, we'll get to that here momentarily, but the Clippers are out. You know, I've heard the Clippers are in, the Lakers are. I mean, so you go all the way around here, Zach. We still have no clarity in terms of the Kawhi decision. I will say this: if Kawhi Leonard really does want the Lakers, then, I mean, ultimately it's his decision. I don't care what his uncle has to say. I don't care what his business manager has to say. I don't care what his agent has to say. I mean, he's going to decide ultimately where he goes. You have the Jalen Rose report saying that 99%. That he's going back to Toronto. It's going to be a 2-year deal. Then after that 2 years, that he'll be a 10-year free agent. So then he could get the supermax contracts and maximize his value. I mean, around and around we go, and we all, for what we do, and as NBA fans, as sports fans, but covering it on a day in day out basis, Zach, what we do as hosts on a national radio platform, we all wait for the impact of the Leonard decision because it will be significant.
I have a headache, and it's not because I had a few beers last night. It's because, you're right, this constant update, rumor, report, no one knows what they're talking about right now. The only one actually that knows what they're talking about, surprisingly, is probably Chris Carter, because he seems plugged into the Kawhi Leonard family. And he told everyone yesterday, enjoy your 4th of July, decision wasn't coming. I hope that this is over today. Maybe it goes through the weekend and we get a decision on Monday. If it is between the Lakers and Toronto, I feel as if, and you're right, it is Kawhi Leonard's decision, but just personally, I feel as if probably it's Uncle Dennis pushing him to return home and that appeal to return home as well. But it once again, like we were talking about on yesterday's show, it's probably such a difficult decision if you are going to leave, even if you're going to the Lakers or the Clippers and you're going home, because you're a king of a country right now. You just won a championship. How do you leave that there?
Well, I mean, you leave that in order to go back home. I mean, I think that's really the deciding factor is where does he want to go? I mean, legacy-wise, you can debate, as we talked about yesterday, Zach, you could debate which one would be better for his legacy, right? Going back to Toronto and maybe win another championship over the next handful of years if he remains a Toronto Raptor, you know, even if he signed a 2-year deal but remain there for the next 4 or 5 years. That Kawhi Leonard, or even longer than that, if he wins another title up there in Toronto and then brings a second championship there, what does that do as compared to signing up with a super team? Because his impact and the significance, the talent would be overwhelming. So where do you grade it out in terms of level of importance? I think the draw is to go back home, right? I mean, I think that is ultimately be closer to family and friends. Where does he want to raise his family? You know, he's got two young. Isn't that what we're talking about ultimately here? I mean, do you think we're getting to the level of where he and Uncle Dennis are discussing what is the greater impact? No, isn't it a case of quality of life where you want to spend the next handful of years, potentially, even if it's just a short-term 2-year deal up in Toronto? Do you want to spend the next 2 years up in Toronto with the Raptors? I mean, isn't that what we're ultimately talking about, Zach, or no?
Usually with the free agency, I look at it three ways, and I never know which way the player goes. Is it about winning? Is it about ego? Or is it proximity to where you grew up? And if it is for Kawhi Leonard, then he's going to go to LA, and you'll pick between the Lakers and Clippers. If it's about winning, I think he goes to the Lakers. If it's about ego, though, you would avoid the Lakers because, as we were talking about, you'd be second or third fiddle if you go to the Lakers with, you know, in the shadow of LeBron James. So we'll be winning, ego, or proximity to being home.
Well, but if you're Leonard, you could say winning anywhere, could you not? If we're going to put all three organizations across the line, right, and say winning, well, Kawhi Leonard could say, I could win anywhere. I just won in Toronto. So wouldn't the Raptors, Lakers, and Clippers all get a check mark there?
Tougher challenge, though, even though he just won with the Raptors and the Clippers. Tougher challenge, because if you go to L.A., it's over. Season's done. They're going to win the championship.
Right, if you go to the Lakers. The Lakers. Not necessarily, not the Clippers, but I get the point that you're making. But, right, it's an easier
path. He could win anywhere, yes.
It's an easier path with the Lakers, but Kawhi, you can't sit down with a meeting and tell him he can't win there. Kawhi's going to say, I can win
of
anywhere,
course, yeah.
Right? So he's going to put a check mark in either one of those columns, right? Ego-wise, would you say, you know, if we go down the three points of emphasis for you, Zach, ego-wise, you know, what is the, he just won in Toronto, right? He's already being hailed and he's the king of Canada when you look at Canadian basketball. Ego-wise, I would think that either the Clippers or the Raptors get the checkmark column and not necessarily the Los Angeles Lakers, because isn't he going to have to check his ego at the door if he goes to the Lakers?
Exactly.
Because that's going to be LeBron's team.
Yeah, I would say ego-wise, it's Toronto 1, Clippers 2, Lakers 3.
Right, and then proximity to home, I mean, it's Clippers or Lakers.
Yeah.
So if you're going to grade it out there, then you would say the Lakers are a little bit more of a long shot if you're going to look at it where the 3 points of emphasis for Kawhi Leonard. Now, yeah, you can throw in another one in terms of, you know, storied franchise, and the Lakers obviously are, have won 16 NBA championships. They're by far greater historically. They're a cornerstone franchise for the NBA. So the Lakers might get, you know, he might have dreamt as a kid, Zach, you know, you don't know because he's very, very quiet, doesn't really give you all that much. You know, it might be a case where Kawhi Leonard has dreamt of putting on the purple and gold of the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't know that.
Yeah, and I don't know what is in terms of importance, because I could lay out those three things and he may only value one.
That's
compared
true.
To the other two.
You're right about that.
And the ego may be the biggest and the ego may be the smallest. We don't know. And also, I find it very interesting how when a player makes a decision to go home, how, like, for example, Kyrie Irving, I know he grew up in New Jersey. Did you ever know he was a New Jersey Net fan growing up until he released that video the other day?
No, and when did they film that video? It must have been like 5 o'clock in the morning when they filmed that video. The bridge was completely empty. It looked like the sun was rising. He's talking about he's going home. It's like when they did the same thing with Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks now.
Sure.
Meanwhile, yeah, I understand he was born in Brooklyn, but he was raised in West Baltimore. He's got a tattoo for West Baltimore on his left shoulder.
Does he really?
Yeah, WB, Carmelo does. So you look at
how do you know that, by the way?
Someone told me that. And then I saw him one night. He wasn't wearing like the undershirt underneath. Like, you know, sometimes he was wearing those things.
Nothing gets by Mark Melissa.
So, yes. Yeah, so he had like a WB tattoo on his left shoulder. So that was almost comical. I agree with you. You know, when you talk about coming home and you're Kyrie Irving, you don't look at if you grew up in Jersey, you don't look at Brooklyn as coming home. He's thinking, though, as the greater tri-state area. But that video, it's tough to take that video when you go back to the Nike video when he was first traded to the Boston Celtics. Remember that video?
Mm-hmm.
And he's working out with his dad on the court and saying that he doesn't want number 11 to be worn ever again. And after 2 years, he couldn't stand Boston. He get the hell out of the Celtics organization.
They're performers. They're entertainers.
Oh, no doubt.
Kyrie Irving, I'm going to stay here as long as everyone wants me to be here.
That's exactly right.
And you know what? He technically did it live because at the end, no one wanted him there anymore.
No, they couldn't wait. You're right. You're exactly
get
right.
Get him out.
And they feel like it's addition by subtraction. They feel like Kemba Walker, chemistry-wise, Zach, will fit much better in Steven's system up there in Boston than the one for Kyrie Irving. But so Irving decides it was important for him to be closer to his family on the East Coast, right? Tri-state area, right? And he's got a new house that he bought in Jersey, and be close to his family, be close to his dad and the like. That's great and good for him. He has every right to make that decision, but he also made that decision pretty quickly, right? It's been long rumored that it was at first that he wanted to be a Knick, right? And then that changed. Then before the start of free agency, Zach, we heard the stories. Many people, I mean, anybody involved basically said had him go into the Brooklyn Nets. And then he eventually became a Brooklyn Net. We're sitting here, and everyone has got time. Kawhi Leonard, you know, just won an NBA championship with Toronto, had time after winning that championship and after the 1.5 million people packed the parade route up there in Toronto to think about free agency. We're now sitting here on Friday morning. It's 6:14 Eastern, right? Just past 3 o'clock on the West Coast in the morning. And Leonard is yet to make a decision, and you're getting all these reports about certain liens. I mean, I would think if I were Kawhi Leonard, I'd have an idea of...
It means he's struggling with it.
Well, but okay, he's struggling with it, but I mean, we talk about factors. Don't you think at some point here, what's going to be, I'll ask you this, Zach, what do you think is going to be the thing that changes his mind or flips it to where cements the decision? What do you think in Kawhi Leonard's mind ends up being the final, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back where he says, all right, here I'm going. I'm going to the Lakers, or I'm going to the Clippers, or I'm going to the Toronto Raptors. What ends up being the deciding point?
I guess time. Like, I wish I could give you a great answer, but eventually has to make a decision.
Right.
I don't know what's the decide, because we can lay out all the options.
All right, but
want.
If you had a venture guess, if I ask you, you know, he signs here, what do you think ends up being the determining factor? Is it the Lakers? Is it playing close to home? Is it, you know, returning to Toronto on a short-term deal? What, you know, because he just won an NBA championship? Is it, you know, easier path? What do you think ultimately ends up being the determining factor?
If customs let him out of Canada? I'm being serious. Like, if they let him out, all right, he's going to. Here's one thing, though.
Yeah.
As it goes on, and as the days keep on going on, let's say this goes through the weekend.
Yeah.
Do you get the sense that means he's more likely leaving? Because if he was staying, wouldn't he have made the decision already?
I would agree with that. And I thought that, when everything went down on Wednesday and the helicopter was following him and the two black Suburbans and then people packing outside of his hotel room, I thought we would have gotten a decision Wednesday night or at least on Thursday. That he was returning back to Toronto. I do agree. I just kind of reading the tea leaves. I think the longer it goes where he does not agree to a deal with the Toronto Raptors, I think the better the chances are that he goes back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I feel the same way right now, evaluating the situation. And, maybe it's the big deciding factor. You see Drake is offering to be part of the record label. Now, I don't know if Kawhi's going to be rapping it, if it's going to be a business financial part of it, but him and Drake seemed very close. They were partying on the stage in Las Vegas after they won the championship.
Yeah, they were. I mean, but what does that do for Leonard? I mean, you know, does that, how big of a factor is that for him? I agree with you. And listen, if you're Toronto, you're going to pull out all the stops. So if he and Drake are that tight and that close, and it appears to be that they are, and Kawhi Leonard wants to get involved in the music industry, and Drake saying, I will afford you, you remain with the Toronto Raptors, I'll afford you that opportunity, you're going to take that on. But, I mean, is that going to be what decides it? I mean, last year, remember.
Well, LeBron could pitch Space Jam 2.
But, no, you bring up LeBron. And Zach, last year, remember, July 1st, free agency begins. It was the old, it wasn't the
decision
day before.
Cave.
Right, the decision came down. First guy at LeBron's house in California, in the greater Los Angeles area, was Magic Johnson, and they had a three-hour meeting. But they didn't just talk about basketball. What did they talk about? They talked about being an entrepreneur and business ventures. And LeBron wanted to learn from Magic in terms of what to do outside basketball in order to, you know, continue to profit and what business ventures to go in. And he wanted to learn from Magic as being an entrepreneur. Listen, that seemed to factor in for LeBron James, even though everyone said he was going to the Lakers, but that relationship with Magic seemed to factor in. We know how it fell apart. Maybe this is a huge factor for Kawhi Leonard. Maybe they realize that having this relationship and a business relationship with Drake will be a turning point and a deciding factor for Kawhi Leonard. I have no idea.
And also, I don't know if Kawhi Leonard cares going back to 2 years ago about the perception of him and how people view him with what happened in San Antonio, but that could be also another thing. If you join this super team, I don't think he will be as hated as, you know, when LeBron went to Miami with the decision or with KD going to the Golden State Warriors and it made the league uncompetitive for, you know, the last 3-4 years until, you know, all the injuries suffered by the Golden State Warriors. But is that something that's on his mind as well? If I leave Toronto, where everyone's loving me right now, restored the image from the messy divorce with the Spurs, and I go to the Clippers, no harm, right? No one's going to kill him if he goes to the Clippers.
No.
But if he goes to the Lakers, he probably is going to get blasted, you have to think.
I would think so, no? I mean, he's not going to get as vilified as LeBron. Because he's won before.
And he's won with a non-super team.
And right. And the other thing is he doesn't have a distinct personality. You know, people don't care as much about Kawhi as
they
do LeBron.
It's not polarizing.
Right. You look at Leonard, though, but I do agree with you. I think all the love and the fanfare that has hit Kawhi Leonard, and rightfully so, and he has changed the complete narrative from where it was a year ago because of what he did and what he accomplished and what they accomplished as a team this past year, that all goes out the window because there will be people that will love to hate the Los Angeles Lakers outside the greater LA area that will despise the fact that he went and create a super team with the Lakers.
After the KD injury, I thought KD was going to stay with Golden State. And before free agency did commence, I thought Kawhi Leonard was going to stay with Toronto. We now know Kevin Durant's going to Brooklyn. As I sit here right now, and I've been pretty much sticking by the side of Kawhi Leonard staying in Toronto, This is the first day because of how long it's taken. I think he's really deciding, how do I plan this exit? How do I do it to kind of protect my image? And I do now believe, I don't want to see it happen, but I kind of get the feeling that he's going to be a Laker.
Zach, it'll be a disaster if that happens.
I don't want to see it, but that's what I feel.
I don't want to see it. Yeah, that's fair. I'm sticking with he stays in Toronto.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah,
I hope you're right.
I'm sticking with the fact that I think he ends up and remains with the Toronto
Raptors. Is that you more so
hoping?
Because you don't want to see, right? It's hoping.
Yeah.
It's wishful thinking.
You might be right. I mean, there's probably a significant percentage of the mindset where I'm hoping that that is the case. I don't want to, Zach, for what we do and how big of a fan that we both are of the NBA, I don't adore super teams. People love the idea of saying, well, that's what the NBA's been all about. But, yeah, it hasn't gone down like this, though. I mean, you draft well. You're able to put together a team that's able to go on a great run, and you're able to add some veteran pieces here or there. This whole idea in one offseason for the Lakers to go from non-playoff, laughingstock, poorly run organization to where having the great recruiter of LeBron James, where you trade and you give up a ton to get Anthony Davis, and then you bring in Kawhi Leonard, you know, that is not, you know, developing a super team. That's using the power and the influence and the leverage that you have as an organization or these individual players do have to put those guys all together at once. It's a little bit different for me, and I hate the idea of the super team. I you know, people rooted for Golden State to fall. People rooted for Miami to fall. People rooted against the Boston Celtics when they had the big three. This would be of such significance, though, it would really dwarf all those other situations. And honestly, I don't want to make NBA basketball insignificant next year, because it will be.
Especially when you have eight teams in the West that could contend for the Western Conference crown. You have four or five teams in the East. And let's also be realistic, Moose. You're going to get a celebration of Magic Johnson, who left the team in the dust and didn't even tell the owner. If they get Kawhi Leonard,
God.
You're going to have Magic Johnson with his generic, boring tweets, tweeting about this entire situation, and it'll be a celebration of Magic, because that's going to be the perception that chat with Kawhi Leonard is what got him to go to L.A.
Totally
and
agree.
I will puke right now if Magic Johnson's the one that emerges from this as the hero after he said Rob Pelinka backstabbed him, and now he's buddy-buddy with Rob Pelinka, and didn't even have the courtesy to tell Jeannie Buss, who he says, she's like my sister, that you're going to resign. So I don't want to start, nothing against Magic, love Magic, but right now I don't want to be celebrating Magic Johnson after he's handled this last
month. But Zach, he will be celebrated.
Oh, it'll be nauseating.
He'll be celebrated. It'll be the conquering hero. Magic came in, saved the day.
The family of the Lakers, blah, blah, blah.
And that's going to bother Pelinka, you know that, because Pelinka's going to get little to no credit for putting that entire, or putting that together. And we get the Lakers are poorly run. But the Lakers, and we'll get into this next, but think about if they do get Kawhi, and you are right, and I'm wrong, and Leonard ends up in a Laker uniform, you can hit it, Brian, and Leonard ends up in a Laker uniform, you look at the very fact of the turnaround for the Lakers in the span of,
a month.
60 days?
A month they were dead.
Yeah, I mean, 45 days?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm giving a little bit too much time. I mean, think about the turnaround from being poorly run, trade LeBron wants out, to now going from that to this. We'll get into that next. It's Melusis and Gelb here on this Friday morning. You're listening to Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's head out to Detroit, Zach. It's Rich at CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Rich?
Good morning, fellas.
What's up, Rich?
Hey, look. I'm sitting here and I'm watching the NBA season possibly about to be destroyed before the summer league can even truthfully begin. And if this happens and Kawhi goes and joins the Lakers, I just think that Adam Silver and the other general managers, they need to act fast to give the other team some type of chance. And they need to not be stupid like they did last year with Golden State and letting Boogie Cousins hang around and not get signed. They need to – somebody needs to trade with Memphis to get Andre Iguodala, and then they need to offer – they don't need big contracts, but a couple of multi-year contracts to Boogie Cousins and JaVale McGee, and force the Kawhi Lakers to pick from the absolute bottom of the bin players that are left. It's simple. It's just don't be stupid.
It wouldn't matter, though, players. If you put those three names together, like, you could go and go make, you know, a few other good moves, really good moves. At this point, it's too late, though. That team, no one's going to beat that team if they form.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. The other GMs need to snatch those players up so the Lakers can't get them.
Yeah, you know what, Rich, but does it really matter?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, Iguodala could still play, could still help a team out. I get it. But if you put those three guys on the same court together and come playoff time, we know they're going to miss a ton of games in the regular season. And, you know, the whole idea of the rest and workload and everything like that and load management, which has become the thing in the NBA. The problem you have is when they're healthy on the court together, they're not going to need a lot of help. I mean, they're just not come playoff time.
I tell you what, it makes a big difference if they got to depend on J.R. Smith and some 7-foot bum than if they got Boogie Cousins or
Listen,
on the wing.
No, I get it. Listen, I don't. It would make it more difficult, Rich, but wouldn't you still think the Lakers are going to win it?
Yep.
Yeah, and Rich, you in Detroit, myself and Zach here in New York, we're all feeling the same thing. Anybody but the Lakers. Go to the Clippers. I know it'll bother all the Toronto fans and everyone that shows up at Jurassic Park and
anybody but the Lakers
and the face of basketball up there in Canada. But really, for the NBA fan, you're hoping that he ends up anywhere but Los Angeles with the Lakers.
Anywhere, but I will just leave you guys with this. If you remember last year when this happened at Golden State, everybody already knew that Golden State was going to be the prohibitive favorite to win it. But that Boogie Cousins signing, it just took all of the – I mean, it made the other GMs like, oh, I'm not even going to make any more moves. There's no need. You know, we got bailed out by the injuries, but had Boogie Cousins had signed with Golden State and the players not got injured – they would have ran away from Toronto and everybody
else. Oh, no doubt. No, I mean, Rich,
you're
exactly
right. We can't let that happen again.
No, I don't disagree. If Kevin Durant's healthy in the NBA Finals, they're not celebrating up in Toronto.
There's nothing any owner, any commissioner, any general manager can do. The commissioner has made this clear. It is a players' league. What the players want, the players get. And if the players want to be buddy-buddy and team up with each other, which would be the complete antithesis of what we think of Kawhi Leonard, because he's the super team dynasty slayer.
Right.
It would be the opposite. So no one can prevent these players from doing what they want anymore. What they want, they get.
Yeah, and that's fine. And if he wants the Lakers, he's going to end up in Los Angeles with the Lakers.
With a massive eye roll from Mark Melusis.
And there's no doubt. But for the basketball fan,
my head will be in the garbage too.
Well, it'll make me nauseous.
And then we'll go through this fake game like we did with the Warriors. Oh, let's try to pump up the Rockets when they're really not going to beat them.
Well, but that's the it'll make
the Raptors too with the Cavs.
And Zach, the NBA regular season gets knocked as it is of being inconsequential, even be more so now. And then you'll get to the postseason where, you know, this year, because of some of the injuries, and then initially the Durant injury, but how well Toronto and the Eastern Conference was great, you still thought that, you know, Golden State was going to win a championship. Even when Durant returned for Game 5 and was before he blew out his Achilles, I thought Golden State, as long as Durant could continue to play, could come back from the deficit that we were facing and win another NBA championship. We realized how important Durant was to Golden State, how big of a significance and a difference maker he was. And they were very, very top-heavy at the end, and their depth pieces regressed a little bit. You throw those three on the same team out in Los Angeles with the Lakers, I mean, it kills the NBA. It absolutely just destroys it.
It goes back to where right now we're hopeful that we're going to be talking about on-the-court things, to if he goes to the Lakers, it's back to who is Joel Embiid fighting on Instagram, or
that's it.
You know, who's calling out who in a rap album diss. That's what it comes back to. It's all about the drama, social media that the players will obviously pump up.
But when you get back to you're not wrong. But when you get back to the game then doesn't carry the interest of the fan. It's all about the drama and the personalities
until the second round of the playoffs, basically.
Probably, and I would say the entire playoffs in the Western Conference. The only playoffs that would be intriguing then would be in the East.
Yeah,
that would be it. John Fast is with us. He's got updates throughout the course of the morning.
And unhappy John, too, John.
Well, I will hear about his steak here momentarily, which was overcooked yesterday at his barbecue on the 4th of July. But I will give John credit, as I did when I first walked in here to the palatial studios at CBS Sports Radio, and give him credit for the marinade yesterday that you gave me for the flank steak. It was absolutely fantastic.
The marinade recipe. You did it yourself.
I did it myself.
I just
right.
gave you the recipe,
just
not
gave
the actual
me the
marinade.
But the recipe was fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
It was very, very good.
Well,
yeah. Everyone loved it.
Maybe you should give that recipe to your dopey family member who messed up your steak.
He's not dopey. And he loves it, by the way. It's my brother-in-law, but he overcooks his steak, unfortunately. He's not listening, or I wouldn't tell him that. Although he knows that I like it more medium rare. He even apologized to me yesterday. He's like, yeah, sorry, I think I left this on too long. And I'm thinking to myself,
yeah,
boy,
sorry, I messed it up.
If you think you left it on too long,
and was
this
it
thing is a briquette.
Did you finish it?
I had, well, you know, it was a big steak, and he sliced it up. I had a couple of slices.
And that was it.
It just, you know.
And then you moved on.
See, this is the problem I have.
Was that overcooked, John?
Yeah.
This is the problem I have.
Sorry.
I have an aunt who can't cook. She would burn water, you know, if it's possible. We tell her she's an awful cook, so don't go out of your way. John, you are a good cook. Tell your brother-in-law, you mess up the steak, you become the man of the house, and you cook the steaks.
In theory, you're correct, but it's his place.
Well, right.
It's his place. At my house, no one touches my grill except me. No one does the cooking but me. At his place,
well, you've got to be asked, too. You got to be walking into that barbecue like Gelb did at his buddy's house, just on, like, you know, the back nine of a golf course in Long Island, where they say, basically, Zach, since you worked at Five Guys for 5 months and handled the fryer, you're going to be cooking the entire meal for everybody.
Yeah, well,
that's what
we don't live
that.
In a perfect world, so.
Right.
It'd be nice. That's not happening.
You got to be more aggressive with your family. You got to sit them down and say, I'm John Fass. I am the update anchor at National CBS Sports Radio. I'm a big deal if you haven't heard. Enough of you guys.
They haven't heard.
Unless if you got, you have to stop messing up the food. And there's no well-done steak. Medium rare. That's it.
That's it.
Smack around your family, all right?
Don't. I see how it's done in the Gelb family.
Yeah, right.
You can't mess up a meal.
That's it.
It's embarrassing.
Take it away, Tom.
All right, guys. This report sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. With the way the Yankees have been plowing through the American League East, even a blown save from Aroldis Chapman couldn't slow him down.
Into left field, a base hit. Urshela will score. Here comes Judge. He scores. Gardner safe at third. Following to second is LeMahieu. It's a two-run single for DJ LeMahieu.
That's Ryan Rucco on Yankees Radio. That broke a three-all tie in the top of the 10th. Gary Sanchez's three-run homer provided some insurance. Yanks take down the Rays 8-4. Bombers have won 10 straight against AL East teams. They're 17-3 over their last 20 against teams in the division, and they have themselves a 7.5-game lead on Tampa Bay in the standings. And staying in the American League, the Tribe now within 6 games of the Twins in the Central. Minnesota lost for the 10th time in 17 games with a 7-2 setback in Oakland. Manager Rocco Baldelli, though, not too concerned about Minnesota.
Our guys have been very resilient and have not really let any sort of negative energy or anything going on from, you know, having a tough day or two at the ballpark carry over long term.
Among some of the other highlights from yesterday's baseball schedule, the Cubs snapped a 4-game slide with an 11-3 win over the Pirates after Javi Baez was buzzed inside twice. Joe Maddon lost it and got ejected, then tried to approach the Pittsburgh dugout. Reds down the Brewers 1-0. Luis Castillo allowed just one hit over 7 2/3, striking out 9, sending the Brewers to their third straight loss. Dodgers breeze past the Padres 5-1. Braves outslugged the Phillies 12-6. Nationals finished off a sweep of the Marlins 5-2. And from the NBA, the Nuggets drafted Michael Porter Jr. in the first round of last year's draft, but he missed all of this past season after undergoing back surgery. Denver fans going to have to wait a little bit longer to see him, though, after he reportedly suffered a sprained knee in a scrimmage He's expected, guys, to miss all of the summer league action.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. And people are very, very high up, high on the expectations of Michael Porter out there in Denver. He obviously was a big-time recruit, played the 1 year barely at Missouri.
Fell in the draft
because of injury concerns, maybe a little bit of a question of whether or not he actually loved basketball and all that, motivation, different things you hear about young players which cause him to fall in the draft. But health was a big concern. Has the back surgery, right, to repair that. The glowing reports over the last, I would say, 3-4 weeks, Zach, have been off the charts because they thought he was going to be a big-time player year two, even though it would be his like kind of rookie campaign in the NBA, and now he suffers this knee injury. So he'll be out a little while, not all that while. He didn't tear his ACL, so it's a little bit of a knee sprain. But I think Nugget Nation is all fired up about what Porter Jr. can do for them.
Especially the year they just
official
had.
Rookie year. No doubt. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They've got two impactful young players, and they locked up Murray long-term. They're locked into him. We know how good Jokic is. They are a team on the rise out there in the Western Conference, and they were hoping that Michael Porter could be one of those young star pieces to throw into the mix as well, and he still could be this year.
Yeah, there's a few teams that you look at in the Western Conference that you wonder if they're ready to take that next step, because we talk about how, as long as Kawhi doesn't go to the Lakers, how diverse this could be. Like, you wonder if the Nuggets, who I get were the 2 seed last year, but if they could get over that hump and get to the finals, like a team like Portland, Utah, like I kind of put those 3 teams together where we know they're really good. And the Rockets I'll put in a different category because of how close they battled it out with the Warriors. And clearly we need to see if the Rockets get over the hump. But those the teams like the Nuggets, the Trailblazers, and the Jazz, they've had some consistency. They've had some success, multiple playoff appearances. You wonder now with the Warriors injured, how far can they take it next year?
Yeah, that's true. You're right about that. But they're one of the teams that are in the conversation in the mix. I would tell you that I think the Raptors are down on that list. Not the Raptors. The Rockets are down on that list. If I'm looking at a team in the Western Conference, you know, I'd look at Denver. I'd look at Utah. I love what they did in adding Conley this offseason. And also adding Bogdanovich. I like what they did. I like Portland. You love their dynamic backcourt. I think, Zach, you can make the argument that the Rockets' window is closed.
I don't like the Rockets for a few reasons. The CP3 Harden stuff, they could tell you all is fine. The reality is they can't trade that CP3 contract.
No, they cannot.
So even if they do hate each other, you have to eventually be grown-ups and try to run it back here. I didn't love Daryl Morey's justification a few months ago when he's posting the record of his below 500 record in the playoffs against the Warriors, but look what the rest of the league does. And then the situation with the coach, D'Antoni. You don't have a contract figured out. There's a lot of smoke here with the Rockets, and I'll be curious where their mental state is when the season does start.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's a Friday morning, post-July 4th. Wrapping up the work week, it's Malusis and Gelb. Taz and the Moose, Zach in for Taz here. On this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Coast to coast, pillar to post. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Certainly is. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, at Mark Malusis, at Taz and the Moose. 3 ways you can go about doing that. A good Friday morning to one and all. Welcome aboard. Thanks for tuning in. Sirius and XM 206, the app as well. All of our great affiliates across the country. Zach in for Taz the past couple days. Malusis with you. And Zach, we touched upon a little bit earlier on in the show in terms of the overwhelming impact and certainly the Kawhi decision and the Drake impact. And we don't know if it's has significance or it's inconsequential what Drake's role now is in the recruiting process. And you mentioned the report out there is, you know, having him work with a record label, being part of the, you know, business venture, business model outside of basketball. And listen, I know Drake bothers a lot of people, and he does rub people the wrong way, and the shoulder rub of Nick Nurse during the playoffs was a little much, and you know the NBA told the Raptors then relayed the message to Drake that he's got to calm it down a little bit.
And the Raptors didn't care.
No, they for the most part, they don't care. But, you know, we've seen this before, and I'll give Drake credit, and people could say, well, he's got tattoos of guys, numbers for guys for Golden State. I think he's got a Kevin Durant tattoo on his arm of just his number 35.
You're very big on these tattoos, I am.
Well, people call it out, and at one point in time, one of his concerts, he was wearing a Warriors jersey. So, listen, he plays to the crowd. If you're a guy that's out there.
He's a performer.
No doubt about it. So, you're going to do Drake doesn't bother me as much as he bothers other people. Does he bother you?
I vacillated on this. So the postseason started, I go, all right, enough of Drake. And then as it went on, I didn't care. The thing that bothers me is when you have the game going on, and every 2 seconds, so this goes to the NFL too, because how many times we see Jerry Jones during a game, and then when they lose, we never see him. With Drake, I don't need to see him every reaction shot. They're on the road. He's in Jurassic Park. And after every big bucket, they're going to Drake. That stuff I don't need to see. But Drake overall, no, he doesn't really bother me anymore.
No, he doesn't bother. And I get it. And I understand that people get bothered by the fact of the focus on Drake as much as it is. That's fine. And it bothers me sometimes as a growing up a Knick fan, Zach, that all the focus is that when
Spike Lee,
when people want the reaction of the Knick fan, it's all about Spike Lee. Well, Spike Lee doesn't speak for every Knick fan, just like Drake doesn't speak for every Raptor fan.
And isn't he a little bit of a phony fan,
well,
Spike Lee?
A little bit. Yeah, he is a
dabbled
little
with the Lakers for a little bit. Right, when the Knicks, the Knicks have always been down.
Well, they've been always, they've been down
really
for like 20 years when they were really down, and they're really down right now. Yeah, that bothered me at the time, but you know, if you're Toronto, you're going to use the asset that is Drake.
Oh, yeah.
And Drake is a bigger asset now than I think Spike Lee probably ever was. I mean,
sure.
I mean, he really is. I mean, the role that he could play, and he's an influencer. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, he's a multi, multi-millionaire 100 times over. People love his work, love him as an artist. Has done some acting early on in his career. He's played a pivotal role. Guys are locked in. They look at it, and the modern NBA player looks at Drake as someone of significance and importance. So if you're Toronto, you're going to play up that. You're not going to downplay it. That's just playing to your strengths as an organization.
Sure, and also because you kind of wonder when you're this big-time celebrity how much other big-time celebrities impact you, and just their presence in the room, I don't think really changes the pitch, but if they could provide you something from a monetary standpoint, that maybe is what could maybe move the needle a little bit in one
True.
Direction.
But let me we think about if you think about the great sports fans that are celebrities, right? Drake is probably at the top of that list now, right?
Drake, Mark Wahlberg comes to mind. He's a big sports fan.
He is, right? But Mark Wahlberg is also the guy that left the Patriots game.
That's right, because his kids were sick. That's what he said.
Quote unquote, kids were sick when they were trailing. That was the Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
When they were down 28-3 in that game. So
I mean, you didn't see me leaving.
No, I of course. And
I
you're
wanted
a huge
to leave
Patriot
at one point.
Fan. But if you're at the Super Bowl and you're a huge Patriot fan, I mean, you're going to find a way to remain at the game. Mark Wahlberg left that game. I'm looking at it in terms of I don't think there's a bigger celebrity sports fan in all sports that is a bigger influence than Drake.
I would say you're right. The only one I know Bieber's a big sports fan, but he's not Drake.
Nobody has the relationship with the players that Drake does have with the NBA player.
For sure.
There's nobody else.
Yeah.
So Toronto, that's a massive asset. Think about that. I mean, Spike Lee walks into a room as the Knicks are trying to recruit a player. You know, does anybody really care?
Not anymore.
No, they really don't. Jack, way back when. Maybe with the Lakers. I mean, maybe when
Brady
Jack
walked into the Durant meeting, and that didn't even matter.
Right. Out in Long Island, as they're having clams and cocktails. That didn't factor nothing.
We having clams and cocktails after the show?
No, we're not.
Oh,
no.
Okay. No. That's unfortunate.
Are you Tom Brady? Am I Tom Brady?
No. And neither of us are married to Giselle.
Be careful now.
You're right. You're married. I'm not.
Well, coming back, we're going to talk a little bit about Mike Trout. The All-Star game is upon us. We'll do that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.